Welcome to the You've Got to Read This podcast, which is part of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library digital branch. In these recordings, we discuss books we think you're really going to want to check out. For this episode, our theme will be Community Read. I'm Cameron, an adult librarian at University City Library.
I'm Christy, a children's librarian at Morrison Regional Library.
And I'm Kate Hill, a library assistant at University City Regional Library.
And today we're going to be talking about Community Read, which is the largest book club in Mecklenburg County. We're so excited that you guys will be able to all read the same book, hopefully. We have the same book for adults and teens this year. It will be The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. And we'll be having one book for elementary school, which is Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate. And Love by Matt De La Pena, illustrated by Lauren Long, is our picture book selection. We hope that you engage with us and sign up to pledge to read on cmlibrary.org/communityread.
You can find all the titles that we talk about today through the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library catalog. Go to www.cmlibrary.org and choose the green catalog button.
All right, well, let's go ahead and dive right in. We're going to start with The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, which is a really fantastic read, and I'm so excited that we picked it for Community Read. And I'm super duper excited that we are getting Angie Thomas to come to Charlotte to talk about her book and her experience. And of course, the new book that just came out of hers. But we're going to be talking about The Hate U Give. And we're going to be discussing that all throughout March. So anytime in March, we'll have a lot of programs throughout all of Mecklenburg County that you can engage with. We also have a ton of partners that are partnering with us to do Community Read events at their own locations. So make sure that you visit our page. But Community Read for The Hate U Give, if you look at the front cover, the T-H-U-G, it's thug, spells thug. And so that's a little bit about how people perceive the person who was shot by the police. And it happens very early in the book. The main character, Star, her best friend from childhood, was at a party with her. He leaves with her and he's driving her home, and they get stopped by the police. And as he gets out of the vehicle, the police officer, he shoots and kills this unarmed black man right in front of Star. And Star is the only witness to it other than the police officer. And she has to decide what she's going to do. How is she going to use her voice or not? But she also, at first, doesn't want to talk about it to anybody.
Well, and I would think watching someone die would be pretty traumatic in general.
Yes, and as you might imagine, she's just a teenager, too. She's in high school, and part of it is that her parents work hard to send her and her brother and her older brother and her younger brother to private school, so they don't go to school in their neighborhood. The neighborhood school is rough and has a lot of drug and gang-related crime. And so they send her to private school, but she's one of the, their family's one of the few people that are black that go to that private school. So she has to code switch a lot. She doesn't want to use urban slang when she's at school because she doesn't want to be seen as somebody who is from the projects. Finding her voice is a big part of it, but there's a lot of really great layers in this novel. Nothing is black and white. Nothing is simple. Her uncle is a police officer. So it's not like the police are all bad. How dare they? And the kid, her best friend that was shot, he had been starting to get into some bad situations. His mother wasn't 100% great person, mm-hmm. but she did try to do what she could, and she did love him.
Sounds like she's being torn in a lot of directions.
She is. She's being pulled in a lot of directions, and her father is a former gang member as well.
I imagine that's part of why he wanted to send her to a private school.
Probably, yeah. He wanted to make sure that his children didn't fall to the same influence.
A lot to dive into when we get into those discussions in March, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what people think about the book in general. I know that we are partners with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department on this. They have all read the book already, and they are absolutely 100% in on talking about the book with our community members. And I hope that everybody doesn't just, you know, automatically think that this is 100% negative against the police. It's not 100% negative against the people who live in these situations, the people who protest these situations. There's a lot of nuance, which you don't often see in a young adult book. So a lot of times you'll get things, you know, characters are fairly black and white. There's some shades of gray when you start getting into young adult, but this one has a lot to talk about and think about.
So it really provides a lot of understanding on all sides, so to speak.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I really think that there will be a lot of people that will have something to say about the book one way or the other. I will say, just from my personal experience, I listened to the audiobook and the reader is amazing. She did such a great job. So if you are able to listen to the audiobook, I would definitely recommend that too. A little content warning, if you will. There is a lot of cussing in the book. So if you're sensitive to that, just be aware that, especially if you're listening to an audio in the car with your kids or something, just heads up, there will be some of that. Of course, it deals with some very sensitive topics. So I don't expect a lot of folks will be listening to it with their, you know, 6-year-old in the car. But just saying that you should, you know, just be aware that that is part of the book and it's part of the difference between how she speaks at home and how she speaks at school. And sometimes it's justified. And there's some also really fun aspects that we're going to be doing some programming around. Like Star is a really big sneakerhead. She loves shoes. I know that there's a lot of folks in town that are sneakerheads. They're really into buying cool limited release shoes. I'm not that person, but I know some folks that are.
That's certainly another interesting layer to the story and to her character.
And I hope that everybody gives this book a chance this coming month and read it during March or read it sooner, because the library has made it, the digital copies, unlimited. They're available without limit waiting lists, so you can download the audio or download the ebook to read, you know, immediately, because it's already opened up for February. And so you can do that as soon as you want to, and you can listen or read the ebook copy. Now, if you want a physical copy, you need to have the paper book in your hand or a CD, or you might have a wait list. But we're also going to be giving out lots of copies of the physical book at a lot of different branches as well.
Yeah, so make sure to come for the free stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so let's talk about the other ones. Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate.
Yeah, so I read Wish Tree and wasn't really sure what to expect. I actually picked it up because we were going to be doing it as one of our community reads and decided that I wouldn't look up a single thing about it before I started reading it. So to my surprise, the book is told to you by the tree, which I did not know. And I was very pleasantly surprised about this because it gave the narration a unique perspective, both a very, very old and wise one, and yet still in a sense sort of naive, because it isn't a human. She is a red tree.
Oh, I always thought of red as a he. That's funny.
I always thought of it as a nickname for a redhead and that it would be a girl. So
that's interesting.
I don't know. The narrator is a woman, and so I think
when you listen
to the audiobook, you do get the idea that it's a female tree, but I don't suppose it really matters either way. But you do learn a little bit actually about trees in the process of it, and some nature information as well, which is kind of fun. But the really lovely part of it is just how beautiful the perspective of the tree is. And the children in the neighborhood and the adults as well are going through some very difficult things. And the tree kind of usually just watches over it all, but she finally decides that she must get involved in this one particular situation. So trees don't usually talk, she says, but she's a bit of a chatty tree. It's very sweet. The friendships that develop around her and with her are really marvelous. And it was genuinely an affecting story. Something that was really just pulled me in emotionally, which I was very pleasantly surprised about. Not that I didn't expect it to be a good book. I expected it to be a good book, but it turned out to be a great book.
Yeah, I really loved this one too. There's some really fun elements with the animals that make the tree their home.
I love the skunk babies.
Oh, the skunk babies. they name themselves after their favorite smells. Oh. The skunks do.
Yeah, they do. And then the possums, which are also wonderful, they name themselves after the things they're afraid of. So my favorite little baby possum was Flash, which is short for flashlight, but you can't call him flashlight because that scares him too much, and then he freezes up.
Yeah. So if you had a possum name, what would your name be?
Well, the hairy spiders, that was one of them for sure. Possibly Heights.
Yeah.
And apparently also maybe blood draws. Needles, not a fan.
So, going to the doctor.
Going to the doctor, yeah.
What about you?
That was a bit of a mouthful.
I don't know.
You don't know what your biggest fear is? What you're most afraid of?
I guess spiders, maybe.
So you'd also be hairy spiders.
Yeah,
okay.
I would think so.
Mine would have to be maggots. I flee and scream.
I'm not a fan of them, but I don't know that I have that terror on that one. That's interesting.
I can't have them on a movie. Nope. I have to run away. So that would be my opossum name.
They are unsettling. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But it is really cute to see what their all the creatures' names are. All the trees are named essentially for their species of tree. So a lot of trees have the same name. But it's very cute the way that she talks and tells you about all the ways that creatures name themselves. The possums and the skunks were probably my favorite. Yeah.
So alternately, what would your skunk name be?
Ooh. That's a good question. I know this sounds lame, but I really do love the smell of vanilla. That's one of my favorites. But also pine trees. I really love pine trees and campfire type stuff. So
maybe,
I don't know. It would take me a little while to decide, but it would be something like that.
What about you? Favorite scent?
I guess pine trees too. I like that evergreen smell.
I'm such a fan of when, for me, my Christmas tree, I pick it out by how it smells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wander around the lots smelling all the trees, and then I decide which one that I want. But yeah, it's got to, like, really smell good. That's mm-hmm. that's my priority.
Mine would be fresh baked cookies.
Mm.
I love that one, and that would have to be my skunk name.
One of my favorites is also, now that you've said that, is fresh baked bread.
I think one of the skunks was named that.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I relate. That is a good smell. Yeah.
Well, also one of the things I like about Wish Tree is how it does really fit very well with the teen and adult title, because it's talking about racial tension and intolerance, and that is also a theme. And Red, the tree, is very upset about this because Red has welcomed many different immigrants to the neighborhood in the past, and so doesn't understand why this time should be any different.
And it's also might be her last time seeing an immigrant family.
There's some peril for our narrator.
There is.
All right, well. Last title for Community Read is Love by Matt De La Pena and illustrated by Lauren Long. Matt De La Pena has previously won Caldecott Awards for Last Stop on Market Street. And this is another one that is fantastic. It really is. It's a picture book, so it reads very fast. And it is something that can be read to a group of small children. Some picture books, they're really long, and you're like, I can't sit down and read this to a group of 30 kids. This one you can, I promise. But it talks about love and different...
I love the definitions, and that's really kind of what it is how do you define love? And that's, you think you have a definition of love, and it's very straightforward. Yeah, it's how you feel about these people that you care about in your life in different ways. But then you realize that's not a very good definition. And this picture book with these beautiful illustrations, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, Lauren did a great job.
They're big, big pictures and just a little bit of text at the bottom. Each page is kind of a different definition, and they kind of hit you right in the gut.
You do.
So emotional.
Yeah, I've read it out loud a couple times, and every time I read it, I get a little tiny lump in my throat that I have to fight around to read and keep my voice steady while I'm reading it to everybody, but it's got some really interesting moments in it. I like how love looks like waking up early in the morning and somebody giving you a piece of toast, and it might be burned, but they are doing it as an act of love, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a way to show love. And that when you wake up from a nightmare and somebody holds you afterwards, that is also love. So it has some really, really beautiful imagery. There is some hints at difficult topics as well. Mm-hmm. So it still fits very well with our other books.
It's a very diverse, like as far as the illustrations, it's a very diverse and multicultural adventure of sorts.
Yeah. It has love in a lot of different faces.
What are some examples of some of the difficult subjects or types of love that exist?
Well, one of the things is that it talks about people, your family gathered around a television set, and when you try to see what they are seeing, they move between you and the television. And that night you have bad dreams, and it's kind of hinting at bad things happening in the world on the news and how they protect you. And there's a house fire where they are standing out in the night, and one of the other people that was in the apartment complex says, "Look at the stars up here. The light they shine with is love. And they will be burning long after we're gone." And so that is another aspect. And then there's a double page spread where it looks like a man and a woman are fighting, and there's a boy hiding under a piano with his dog and looking very sad and distressed. And so in that page it says that it's not only certain things that flame out, but people too. And so children might be going through these things, and it gives an opening to talk about losing possessions, losing relationships, having difficult things happening in the world that you may not understand. So it really opens up the ability for a parent to have some really deep conversations with some kids.
I will say, you know, let people know what you're reading if you're not reading it to them, because I had the ebook. And I was sitting there and I was reading it, and people wanted to know why I was crying. So, you know, just in case you've got people around, be warned, you may shed a few tears.
Yeah. I definitely was like wiping my eyes the first time I read it. I was over in the picture book section going, "No, I'm fine. Yep, everything's good." Yeah. So you might want to read it on your own before you read it to a group. Like I said, I still have to practice talking around a little lump in my throat. Even though the book is not in front of me, I still have a little lump in my throat talking about this book because I love it so
It really
much.
Does stay with you. And, you know, I think sometimes people disregard the impact that picture books can have because they are pictures and they are for kids and it's, you know, easy reading, but this is really a powerful book that really does stay with you.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm really excited to see what kind of talks we have about it at the library.
Yeah, I'm really super excited about the other things that we have. And for one thing, Trees Charlotte is donating 500 saplings. Oh. So I'm super excited to be able to give some of these hardwood trees that are slow growing, just like Red is in Wishtree. That's for Wishtree. But Matt De La Pena is also coming to Charlotte. Oh. And he's going to be visiting two Project Lift schools. And he will be doing an educator meet and greet at Imaginon.
Well, that is exciting. I'm hoping I get to go to that.
Yeah. And as a library staff, you do count as educators. But any teachers out there, you count too. So make sure you get a chance to come.
Sounds great.
Okay, well, now that we've told you how excited we are about these books, remember that you can get them at the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library catalog. Go to www.cmlibrary.org, choose the Kring catalog button. You can search by title, author, or keyword. You will see all of the available formats like print, ebooks, and audiobooks. If it's not at your branch, you can place a hold to have it sent there.
And again, the titles were The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas, Wishtree by Catherine Applegate, and Love by Matt De La Pena, illustrated by Lauren Long.
Thank you for joining us for You've Got to Read This. We hope you've gotten a good discussion and some ideas for new materials to read. Look for upcoming episodes on the Digital Branch, digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Select the box for You've Got to Read This. Please visit the library's website, cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check out the library's catalog and resource pages. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, #CMLibrary and @CMLibrary.
See you soon.